the title of that song is Do You Know My Jesus? Certainly, as we talk this morning, we hope that everybody knows him, of course, and that everybody will make him their Lord. In sort of extending that thought this afternoon, but with a different slant or a different title, we want to talk about expectations and rewards of discipleship. We are familiar, I'm sure, with Matthew chapter 28 as well as Mark chapter 16. There are some passages in those two chapters that gives us what our main mission is. That is, again, to evangelize the world. But in our evangelizing the world, I think it's so important for us to recognize that there are expectations of the Lord of us. And, of course, rewards for being his disciple. Matthew 28, I want to share that scripture with you. And the scripture says, the King James Version says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. The NIV version and several other translations renders verse number 19 as go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Do you notice what he says first in that particular passage from the NIV and some other translations? The first thing he says, go and make disciples. Then secondly, he says, baptize them. You see, so oftentimes, we may get that just a little bit backwards. We want to baptize. Then we want to make disciples. He says you need to make disciples and then baptize them. Brother James says something in his remarks this afternoon in the meeting that, you know, you can baptize. It may not have said it exactly like this, but it may be easy to baptize some people. But what you really need to do is convert people. If you get people converted, then you can baptize them. And that's what the Lord wants. The Lord doesn't just want people baptized. He wants people converted. And so the process is that you need to make people disciples. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. And then baptize them. Then, of course, teach them to observe all things. So to make disciples, then, is the goal of evangelizing the world for Christ. One needs to understand what being a disciple is all about before submitting to baptism. And the reason why I'm convinced that sometimes people walk away from the Lord is because they have not truly understood what being a disciple is all about. So yes, they've heard the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done for them, but then they don't realize the expectation that the Lord has of them as a result of their obeying his gospel and living for him. And so, as I've said on other occasions, they get in there and things don't really go the way that they think that it should go. They run into a little, and Jesus even talked about that when he talked about this parable of the soils, you know, of how the cares of the world and all those things enter in, and they don't bring forth fruit. They don't realize that all these things are expected of me. And so since I don't realize that, now I can't deal with them. And so they walk away from Christ. Had they realized and took it seriously what God's expectation of them were, they could make a good and conscious decision as to whether I really want to follow the Lord or not. And when a person makes that conscious decision, when he realizes again what all God has done for them, then they can say that because God has done this for me, I'm willing to stand up to whatever it is that I'm faced with, because I know of the glorious rewards that will come to me as a result of my being a disciple. So I would encourage us then, as we strive to evangelize people, is let's try to let them know. Now, I understand and realize that we can't go into all the details of what it means to be a disciple, but at least we need to let them know enough so that they, again, can make a conscious decision of what it takes to please the Lord. I know we're familiar with what the word disciple means. When we talk about discipleship, certainly it comes from the word disciple. And the word disciple literally means a learner. A learner. You remember what Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then he goes on and he says, and this is in Matthew chapter 11, he goes on and he says, "Take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn of me." We need to learn of Christ, learn what he expects of us, learn what he requires of us. So it literally means a learner. And being a learner, Vine's New Testament of Dictionary Word denotes a disciple as being one who follows another's teaching. Follows another's teaching. And again, that's what lordship is all about. If Jesus is truly the Lord of our lives, then we're going to follow his teaching. For this reason, then, disciples were spoken of as imitators of their teachers. The goal of a disciple is to be like the teacher. Jesus stated it like this in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 40. He says, "A disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master." And the word master there carries the idea of teacher. So a disciple, then, is not above this teacher. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his teacher, or like his teacher. That makes it incumbent upon us that we make sure that we teach the right thing and we do the right thing. Because if people are going to follow us, and people can follow us as we follow Christ, if people are going to follow us, then we need to make sure that we are walking in the right direction so that they can be like us. And if they're like us, if we're like Christ, then they're like Christ. So again, the goal of a teacher then is to be, or rather the goal of a disciple is to be like his teacher, according to Jesus. To be Jesus' disciple then is to be like him. And that's what God had in mind from the foundation of the world. It was predetermined, according to Paul's writing to the church at Rome, that we be like Christ. You remember what he said in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 29? He says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed," or to be like, "to conform to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among brethren." So God wants us to be like Jesus. Jesus wants us to be like him. Do we truly want to be like Jesus? Then make him our Lord and follow after his teaching. So discipleship then simply means to be a learner, to be a follower, be an imitator, and to be like Jesus Christ. So what are we doing when we are evangelizing? We are teaching people to be like Christ. We are teaching people that God in Christ has some expectations of them. And unless they meet those expectations, and unless we meet those expectations, we are truly not a disciple of Jesus. We got to meet the expectations. There are certain marks of discipleship expected by Christ. One of the marks of a disciple is to abide in his words. The word abide simply means to continue in his word. You remember what Jesus said to those who believed on him in John chapter 8, in verse number 31, as he was talking to those Jews there? He says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Jesus expects of us to continue in his word. If we're going to be his disciple, he says, you got to continue in my word. So as we talk to people, one of the things we need to encourage them to know is that you need to be a child of God, yes, but you also need to continue in the teachings of Christ. Don't just go down into the water and be baptized and say, oh, yes, I'm a Christian now. But there are some expectations of you that you got to continue. No wonder the Lord says in his word, if we walk in the light, designate our indicating a way of life. We got to keep on walking in the light. We got to keep on continuing in his word. So this implies, when Jesus said, if you continue in my word, this implies that we need to also be a diligent student or a learner of his word or his teaching. Which means, again, that we got to study. Once you become a child of God, we're going to help you now to grow, but you got to do some studying too. We're going to study with you, but you got to do some studying too, because that's the only way that you can truly be a disciple, that you can only continue in his word, is to continue to study, find out what he wants you to do, because you can't do what he wants you to do if you don't know what he wants you to do. So you got to keep on studying God's word. And in studying God's word, since I talked about you can't do what he wants you to do unless you know what he wants you to do, you can't just study it, and that's all. You got to do it. That's expected of us as disciples. All of us who are disciples now, it's expected of us, and it's expected of those that will become disciples later. It's expected, and so we need to encourage people that God expects you to be a doer of his word. James said it like this in James chapter 1. Verse number 22 beginning, he says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a doer, if any be a doer, a hearer rather, of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself, he sees himself, and he goeth his way, and straightway he forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continuing therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Do we want to be blessed? We want the Lord to bless us. Yes, we want him to bless us with sunshine and bless us with rain. We want him to bless us with good health. But we want him to bless us with his spiritual blessings also. And those are the most important blessings in our lives, are the spiritual blessings. And that's what James is talking about. James says that if we continue in the Lord's word, we'll be blessed because of that. So it's expected of a disciple to abide in Jesus' word. It's also expected of a disciple to love the brethren or to love one another. We've talked about this scripture many a times in John 13. He teaches there that this new commandment is that we love one another. with a love that is patterned after Jesus' love. He says, as I have loved you. It's expected then of a disciple to love one another. Not only that, but one is expected to bear not just fruit, but one is expected to bear much fruit. Look at what the Bible says in John chapter 15 in verse number 5. He says, I am the vine, you are the brother, or rather the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. Jesus is saying that, again, if we continue in his word, that we'll bring forth much fruit. What's so important about bringing forth much fruit? Because that's how God is glorified. God expects us to bring him glory. And we give him glory, and we bring him glory by bearing much fruit. Notice what he says further in verse number 8 of the same chapter. He says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciple. So what does that sound like to you, brothers and sisters? That if we're not bearing much fruit, we're really not truly his disciple. In order to be his disciple, we got to be bearing much fruit so that God will be glorified, because that's what he created us for, Isaiah 43 and verse 7. He created us to bring him glory. We bring him glory through bearing much fruit. Jesus is not talking about an occasional good deed, but he's talking about, again, a lifestyle of causing people to glorify God. You remember what he said on the Sermon on the Mount? Let your light so shine before men, Matthew 5 and verse 16, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When we're involved in those good works, we are bearing much fruit. A failure, then, to bear much fruit will result in being severed, cut from the branch, or from the vine, I should say. And Jesus says, I am the who? True vine. John 15 again, verses 1 and 2. He says this, I am the true vine, and the Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Do you want to be taken away? I know you don't want to be taken away. I don't want to be taken away. So we must be about the business then of bearing fruit. So as we strive to make disciples, we need to let them know that the Lord expects you to be more, or do more than just being baptized and becoming a member of the body of Christ. And so that's why we need to realize that God expects more of us than just being a member of the body of Christ and just showing up, as I say so many times, to punch our ticket. That we need to truly be bearing fruit for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, when we talk about all of these things, we need to also let them know, as we strive to make disciples, that there's a high cost involved in discipleship. There's a high cost that's involved. So we need to, again, let them know, again, what Jesus expects of them. Number one, Jesus must come first in our lives. They need to know that. Jesus makes this clear in Luke chapter 14, verses 25 and 26. He must come before our own self. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 through 25. We need to let them know that we must and they must be willing to suffer for Christ. Because again, when we go back to that parable of the sores, when all of these things come into the lives of these individuals, if they truly are not convinced and converted and convicted, all of the persecutions, all of the cares, all of the troubles, and all of these things, they're going to say again, this is not what I'm in this for. And they'll walk away from Christ. They're not willing to suffer. So we must let people know then that that you're going to have to suffer for Christ. Didn't Jesus say it like this in Luke chapter 14 and verse 27? And whosoever does not bear his cross, what does the cross represent? Suffering. That's not a pleasure ride. It's a ride of suffering, a ride of heartache, a ride of pain. Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. They need to know that Jesus expects them to bear their cross. And live in a godly world, or rather a godly life in this ungodly world. Sometimes you may find it difficult to follow Christ. But you need to be willing to hang in there anyway. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12 tells us that if you live for God, if you're godly, you're going to suffer persecution. And even if we are blessed to escape such things as physical suffering, we must still be willing to spend time and energy and working for the cause of Christ. They need to know that. Must be willing to forsake all to follow Christ. That's an expectation that the Lord has of disciples. Jesus gave a great illustration when he taught this lesson of counting the cost. In Luke chapter 14, he said it like this. He says, verse number 28, he says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and count the cost? Before you ever think about being baptized, you need to count up the cost. Realize what God expects of you. Count up the cost, he says, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Less happily, after he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Of what king goeth to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. So what did Jesus say? Go and make disciples of all nations. Let them know, as we need to constantly remind ourselves, who are already members of the body, that unless we are willing to forsake all for the cause of Christ or for Christ, we can't be his disciples. We're not willing to do that. We're just, again, calling him the Lord, but not willing to do what he tells us to do. It's a high cost in following Jesus. But the rewards of disciples will all be worth it. And we need to let people know that. Yes, I know, as we share with one another the gospel of Jesus Christ and we tell them about what God and what Christ expects of them, you say, yes, I know this is a lot, but if you can do that willingly, you'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. There are future blessings to come by truly being a disciple. Paul said it like this in Romans chapter 5. We shall be saved from the wrath of God, which is to come. So likewise, he says, whosoever he be that of you that forsaketh. Now that's Luke 14. Let me go back to here. He says, we shall be saved much more than being now justified by his blood. How are we justified by his blood? When we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we take advantage of that blood, we're justified. And he says, when we are justified, then we shall be saved from what? Wrath through him. We don't want God's wrath to rain down upon us in the last day. In order to do that, we've got to be his disciple. We've got to meet his expectations. so that we'll escape the wrath of God. That's a great blessing, because the wrath of God is nothing to play with. We look forward with joyful anticipation of eternity with God, free from sorrow. Brother Darrell got up this evening, this afternoon, and he led out in the song, "A Bright Tomorrow." This is what Revelation 21 is talking about. Those first six verses there, but verse 3 and 4 says this: "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, neither crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things passed away." Is that worth being a disciple? That's a great reward for being a disciple, for being a learner, for being an imitator of Jesus, for being a follower of Jesus. That's a great reward. And so no matter what we have to go through in this life as far as suffering is concerned, it's worth it. But not only are there blessings in the future, there are blessings right now. Jesus offers us peace right now. John 14 and verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Don't we need some peace? That peace can only be found in Jesus, by doing his will. So he offers us peace right now. He gives us joy to lift our spirits and our hearts out of despair. John 15 and verse 11, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." I said it like this when I refer to this passage on another occasion, you may remember, that Jesus doesn't just want us to have some joy, but he wants us to have a glass full of joy. And so he says, "I've said these things to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Jesus is the one that can give us that joy. He offers to those who follow him the abiding love of God. God will abide with us as we abide with him. John 15, verse 9, 1 John 4, and verse 18. And he makes it possible for us to be members of the family of God, inheriting eternal life. Matthew 10, or rather Mark 10, verse 28. So when we realize the great benefits of being a disciple, why wouldn't anybody want to submit to Jesus as their Lord and be baptized and follow his will? Because, again, no matter what we go through in this life, it cannot compare with the rewards that we're going to get for being a disciple of Jesus. Paul said to the church at Rome in Romans 8 and verse 18, "I reckon that the things that we suffer cannot be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Don't you want to have that glory revealed in your life in the last day? Then be a disciple. Follow Jesus. Help others to come to the realization that all of those wonderful blessings await them also. So yes, again, we want to baptize people. But let's try to help them to know and to understand.